So God is on the move, and we're trying to move forward with Him. And a couple of weeks ago, I didn't get to be here last week, but a few weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, I started a message, and I titled it "Facing Your Giants." And I'm going to try to continue with that today. I wasn't able to finish it then, and don't know that I'm going to finish it today. But we're just going to let God lead, and we're going to listen to what He has to say this morning. Let's pray. I just need God to have His way today. Father God, I come to You this morning, Lord, and I just ask, Lord, that You would just pour out Your Spirit upon us. Lord, that You would minister in this place to the very needs of Your people. Lord God, that we would not come into this place and leave the same, but God, we would leave more like You than we did when we entered those doors today. And Father, today I pray that through Your Word we would be changed and our minds would be renewed, and Lord, that You would have Your way in our lives. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon me as I attempt to say the things that You've laid on my heart this morning. Father, I pray that through Your Holy Spirit that You would be everything that we need You to be this morning. God, in spite of me and my faults and my failures, God, I pray that Your Word would still go forth in power and might in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. So a couple of weeks, I was talking to you about facing your giants, and I talked about how that we were created to move mountains and to walk on water and to defeat giants in Jesus' name. And how many of you, since these last 2 weeks has gone by, have really realized that some mountains just don't seem to move, and some water seems to be just a little bit too stormy to walk upon, and some giants, they just don't seem like they're ever going to fall. You've been with me the last couple of weeks? I know I've been there feeling that same thing. And so I just want to come back and revisit that again. I don't want to try to re-preach that, but I want to update you and kind of bring you back, just give you a recap if we can. Because, you know, if you're honest and I'm honest, we all have giants in our lives. And those are some things that hold us back because of the way they growl and the way they roar and the way they are relentless and they're ruthless and they're ugly and they drool and they just never let up. They haunt us and they take the very life that Jesus has promised us away from us. And so we said a couple of weeks ago that it is time in Jesus' name to deal with those things so that we can move forward. Is anybody ready to move forward this morning? Amen. And so we started by defining what a giant was. And my definition of a giant was: a giant is anything that stands between you and the promises of God that feels impossible to overcome. That's what a giant is. And can I tell you, there's all kinds of giants represented in this room this morning. And just so that you know that someone else's giant is just as real as yours. You may look at their giant and you might say, oh, just get over it and move on, get past it, but their giant is just as real to them as yours is to you. It's anything that stands between you and the promises of God. And a giant feels like it's impossible to overcome, don't they? And the more that you look at them, the less likely you think that the giant is ever going to fall. You start looking at it, you think, man, this thing is never going to go away. And giants are things like anxiety and depression and mental health and shame and fear, rejection, loneliness. Religion can even be a giant. Bitterness and sickness. It can be things as something like comfort or selfishness or convenience, finances. Those are all things that can be giants. There's no limit to what a giant can be. It's anything that stands between you and the promises that God that feel impossible to overcome. And so my question is to you this morning is, what is your giant? What's standing between you and the promise of God that's ruthless and relentless, and it's keeping you from living the life that God has already made for you? You see, in John chapter 10, Jesus says, it says that a thief, or a giant, if you will, come to kill, to do three things. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. They want to steal your affection by getting you to focus on them. They want to kill your faith by making you believe that they'll never fall. And they want to destroy your destiny by keeping you from moving forward in the life that Jesus has came to give you. And you see, here's the problem, is when you have a giant in one area of your life that never seems to go away, you start expecting and tolerating giants in other parts of your life. If I got a giant in one area of my life that doesn't just seem to go away, eventually I start to expect other giants to pop up in other areas of my life, and it doesn't surprise me when they do. And so I start to allow what I see to determine what I believe. You ever been there? And that's the thing that's really dangerous. It's a dangerous place to be, because when you start letting your experience dictate your theology, you start allowing your experience to determine what you believe in. And so what you end up doing is you start taking your experience and you start bringing your theology down to what you're experiencing. But what we were called to do is we were called to take our experience up to our theology and what we believe in. Are you with me on that? Can I tell you, I don't want to believe what I see. I want to see what I believe. I don't want to question the goodness of God and whether or not everything is possible. I want to know that God is good and that everything is possible. Regardless of whatever I'm facing, whatever circumstance I'm looking at and seeing or experiencing at the moment, I want to know that God is good and that everything is possible. So in other words, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that, yes, your giants are big, but Jesus is bigger this morning. Amen? Amen. Your giant, he roars, he's ruthless, he's relentless, he doesn't give up, but guess what? Jesus is still bigger, amen? This is why in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it tells us, it says, in all these things, okay? So against any and every giant that you'll ever face, in all these things, any and every giant that you'll ever face, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Talking about Jesus, he's the one that loved us, amen? See, what we have to understand is that your future is on the other side of your giant. It's on the other side of the giant that you don't want to face. And so what we can't let the giant steal our future, can we? Jesus came to give us a hope and a future. And just because your giant hasn't fallen yet doesn't mean that it won't, in Jesus' name. Amen? So let me give you just a really quick recap of the two lessons that we learned a couple of weeks ago. And this is going to probably be the only time that I do that. Other than that, maybe you can go, if you miss a Sunday, go check it out online and get all these lessons, because this is basically a manifesto of how we can defeat the giants in our life, okay? And so, really quick, the first thing that I said a couple weeks ago when facing your giants is that you have to admit that there is a giant in your life. Amen? And if you were here that week, did you do that? Because that was your homework. Remember I said, find the giant in your life. Did anybody do that? Yeah. Five of us did that. Okay. So the rest of us need to go back and listen to it again, because I said in there that humility is the beginning of breakthrough. Okay, and so we need to go, and we need to, I also said that you won't face what you haven't called out. And you won't defeat what you can't define. And we said that it's okay to struggle, but it's not okay to lie about it, right? It's okay that there's giants in your life. There's nothing wrong with you. You didn't create them. You're not weird. There's giants in your life, and it's okay to struggle, because giants are real, but it's not okay to lie about it. We got to bring those giants out of the darkness and into the light, amen? And that's where the giants begin to fall, and that's where we begin to move forward. We also said that it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way, all right? You see, we need to know that the giant is not our friend. He's not your buddy. You don't need to hang out with him and become familiar with him. Never tolerate anything in your life that is stealing, killing, and destroying you. If Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, then you should never be okay with the work of a devil in your life. Amen? All right. So that was lesson one. And lesson number two is that we just need to remember who we are in Jesus' name. We have to remember who we are. You see, no giant can tell you who you're not. You're not defined by your giants that you face, but by the God that you follow. Amen? All giants will roar and they'll tell you who you're not, but God will whisper and he will tell you who you are. And I want you to hear me, that you are not your giant. You're not your anxiety. You're not your fear. You're not your depression, your sickness, your shame, all of those things. That's not who you are. You know who you are? You're a beloved son or daughter of the Most High King. Amen? And we don't have to be afraid of our giants. because your giants are actually afraid of you. Did you know that? They want you to forget who you are because that's the only way that they can be empowered to defeat you. They want to get you to forget who you are, that you've already been empowered to defeat them, the works of the darkness. And so those were the two lessons from a couple of weeks ago. And I brought you to that third one, and then I left you with the cliffhanger. Did anybody come back last week to hear the cliffhanger? I got you, didn't I? I made Shelly sick and everything just so I could do that. Just kidding, kind of. Okay. Oh, goodness. So it's time to face our giants and to deal with some of the things that's been holding us back. And I hope that you're ready to do that. Lesson number three is it's if you're facing a giant, whatever that might be, this is lesson number three, is know that your giant has already been defeated. Every giant you will ever face has already been defeated. It's just a matter of time until he falls. Amen. If we go back to the story of David and Goliath, because that's where I was touching on a couple of weeks ago, you know, I said that was one of the most famous stories in the Bible, and how, you know, it was a real story. It's not a parable. It's not a fairy tale. It's a real story with a real champion. And we can learn so much about how God moves in this world when we go back and we look at this story. And so you have to understand that the Philistines, the enemy of God, they were facing the Israelites, the children of God. And they would line up for battle every morning for 40 days, in the morning and in the evening, for 40 days and 40 nights. They would line up, they would come out and take the battle line. But every morning and every evening, so would Goliath. Goliath would come out, and he was ruthless, and he was relentless, and he would mock them, and he would insult them. And every time he would come out, the Bible says that the Israelites, in fear, they would turn and run because of his ruthlessness. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, about how there's so many days in our lives, you and I, we wake up and we're just like the children of Israel. We put on our clothes and we think today's going to be the day. Today is going to be the day that my anxiety is gone. Today's going to be the day that I overcome that addiction, that I'm not going to look at those things that I've been looking at, that I'm not going to say the things that I've been saying. Today's the day. And then our giant stands before us and he roars and he's ruthless. And before you know it, we turn around and we run, just like the children of Israel. But then a little boy named David shows up, a little shepherd boy, the least likely person in this story to show up. But he shows up with a staff and a sling. And he says, I'll go fight that giant. He said, I'll go fight Goliath. And he reaches down, he picks up five smooth stones, he puts them in his pouch and one in his sling, and he starts running towards Goliath. We know what Goliath says. He says, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? And David says, you may come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. Amen. And he fires that rock, and it goes, and it hits Goliath in the face, and he falls face down. And David runs over, and he takes the sword, and he cuts his head off, and he grabs it, and he raises it up. And you're like, there he is with that gross anatomy again. But let me tell you, that's important. It's important. And we're going to get back to that in a little bit, okay? And all of the Israelites, they seen that David had held up the head of the Goliath giant. And they all cheered in victory. And the Bible says that they chased down the rest of them and killed them. And they had victory. And that's the story of David and Goliath. And what's so amazing about that is that out of all of those Israelite soldiers, David was the only one that believed that Goliath was already defeated before he went out there. Before David even showed up, he knew that Goliath had been defeated. You say, how did he know that? It's because hundreds of years earlier, God had promised that land to the Israelites through Abraham. And so the promise was already given, and that was their promised land. And if God had promised it, David wasn't going to allow anything to stand between him and the promises of God. So he knew that he was already defeated. And he knew that Goliath was nothing more than a squatter wielding the weapon of intimidation, if you will. You see, Jesus went to the cross and he took our sin and all of our shame and all of our brokenness upon him. They whipped him and they beat him and they put a crown of thorns upon his head and they nailed him to this cross and they put a spear inside of his side. And his last words that Jesus uttered was, "It is finished." And the moment that he breathed those words, "It is finished," and his last breath, and before he went to the tomb, and 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and Jesus was risen from the grave. And when he rose from the grave that day, he defeated the king of the giants, Satan himself. The king of giants had fallen. And the moment that Jesus said, "It is finished," every giant in your life and in my life has already been defeated. Amen? Amen. So there they are. You know, David's out there and they've got this victory, and you and I have the victory. You see, I want us to understand that through this victory that Jesus has given us, that victory is not something that we have to go and get. Victory's already been brought to us this morning. Every giant that you face in your life, you're not facing it for victory. You're facing it from victory. You see, 1 Corinthians 15:57 tells us this. It says, "But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, victory is a gift. God has already given it to you. You don't wake up today and you don't have to go defeat your giant and you don't have to go and find victory. No, what you do is you start from victory today and you face your giant. In fact, I want us to look at this next verse in Matthew 28:18. Jesus says this. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Can I tell you, if Jesus has all authority, then your giant has none. That's right. My giant has no authority in my life. Why? Because Jesus has all the authority, and it's by his authority that we can face our giants and we can come out victorious, because we're already victorious. How about Luke chapter 10, verse 19? Jesus says, "I have given you," okay? He's you, not your neighbor, not your other neighbor. He's saying, "I have given you my authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." See, he's saying, "I've given you authority to be an overcomer. I've given you authority to walk in victory over the giants in your life." Victory is not something that you have to go and get. Victory is something Jesus has already given to us this morning. Are you with me on that? But how many of you know that it's hard to believe sometimes? It's hard to believe that. And that's why it's called repentance. It's called changing your mind, because it's so hard to believe. And I realize that some of you are sitting here this morning, you're saying to me, to yourself, "Yeah, you just don't know my giant. You don't know how real he is. You don't know how ugly and how bad he is in my life and how much he intimidates me." You see, what we have to do is we just have to understand that giants are real. And your giant has already been defeated, but he still fights. Okay? If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. Your giant has already been defeated, but he still fights. You see, he still roars, he growls, and intimidates you. And your giant, he wants to intimidate you because he wants you to forget that victory is already yours. And that's all he's trying to do. He knows that he's been defeated. He knows that. And he's holding on with everything that he's got. He's trying to convince you and me that we've been defeated when he's been defeated already. But he still fights. He's been defeated, but he still fights. Do you remember the story of the disciples and Jesus? They're on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus says, "Let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side." You see, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And so when Jesus said they were going to the other side, they were going to get to the other side. But the story says that a storm came, and the waves began to come up, and it began to swamp the boat. And the disciples, they, out of fear and thinking they're going to die, they cry out. And Jesus just looks at them and he's like, "Guys, why do you have such little faith?" You see, they had such little faith because the roar of the wind and the waves out took the voice of God whenever he said, "Peace be still." Whenever they had forgot that Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." They forgot what Jesus had already promised. When Jesus said, "I'm going to the other side," he that was a promise. We're going to get there. But they forgot it just because the winds began to roar and the waves began to come up. And so they had to understand that regardless, they were getting to the other side. I'm trying to take out some of this because I am way long. And I'm just going to try to get through. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. And just because the storm was howling in your life and in my life, it doesn't mean that it has authority over our lives this morning, people. Because the fact is it doesn't. Let's look at Isaiah 54 and 17. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on, somebody. No weapon, no giant that comes against you shall prosper. But I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that there won't be any weapons. It doesn't say there won't be any giants. Because there will be weapons. And there will be giants. And they're going to come against you. They're going to come against me. But you know what the verse says? But they can't prosper. They can't prosper. They have no authority because they've already been defeated in Jesus' name. In other words, every time your giant roars, you have the authority to silence him and to remind him that he's already been defeated. This is the heritage that it speaks about in here. This is the heritage that you have as the servant of the Lord, that you can remind him and he's already been defeated. Amen? Let's think about this for a minute. Think about this. How many of you like snakes in this place? Anybody like snakes? Okay, we got a few of you. We'll talk after church, okay? So, what happens when you cut the head off of a snake? There he goes with the head off analogy again, right? What happens when you cut the head off of a snake? He's dead. Okay, that's the answer. He's dead. Some of y'all didn't know that. But he's dead. But here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to understand. There's still poison in his fangs, and he still slithers for a really long time. Poison in the fangs, and he still slithers for a really long time. Can I tell you, that's your giant. Jesus has already defeated him, but he still fights. There's still poison in his vein, in his fangs, and he still slithers in our life so many times for a long time. And after, when you think about that, you can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, whenever the snake tempted Adam and Eve. You see the snake, Satan, your giant, whatever, is facing, you know, he had authority over it. And now you and I, we have authority in our life because God made a promise to us. Amen? He made a declaration. If you look in Genesis 3, verse 15, this is God talking to the serpent. And he says, one will come, talking about Jesus. He says, one will come and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. It's one of the most important verses in the Bible because this is God's redemption plan in Genesis 3. He says to the serpent, to the king of the giants, he says, guess what? Jesus will come and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And can I tell you, that's exactly what happened on the cross. Satan struck Jesus' heel, but Jesus crushed his head. Amen? Amen. It was over. It was done. There's still poison in the fangs, and he's still slithering for a long time. But your giant has been defeated. Victory is yours. You don't have to go get it. You don't have to go in and try to fight your giant, but it's already been given to you in Jesus' name. But your giant still fights. Are you with me on that? See, what I want you to understand is there's a huge difference between fact and truth. Fact is what you can see. Fact is what you can see. Truth is what God has said. Amen. And the truth of God is superior to the facts of this world. Listen to me. You have fact in your life. Everybody has fact in your life. Fact is, you're sick. For some of you, that's true. Some of you are sick. Truth is, by his stripes, you're healed. Fact is you've got anxiety. Truth is, he's given you peace. Fact is you're depressed. Truth is that he's filled your hope with your heart with hope. Amen. Fact is you're lonely. Truth is, Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Fact is that you feel insecure. Truth is that you're more significant today than you'll ever be in your life. Fact is there are giants in your life. Truth is, they've already been defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. This is why John chapter 8, verse 32 says this. It says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, when you know the truth, it starts to free us up from our giants in our lives, because now we know that we have the upper hand. We are we're the victorious ones. Amen? Hear me. Giants roar. They roar facts. And God whispers truth. And his whisper has more authority than any roar of any giant in your life. And every giant in your life either has, is, or will fall in the name of Jesus Christ. Check this out. In Philippians 2:9a, it says, "Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." I want you to grab this in your spirit and in your heart this morning, okay? By faith, that at the name of Jesus, every giant will bow. Every giant in your life. Therefore, every name above every name. You see, Jesus has already defeated your giant. That at the name of Jesus, every giant will bow. All your anxiety, your fear, your shame, your rejection, your religion, all those giants, they've already been defeated. And guess what? We need to tell our giant, you know what? One day, giant, you're going to fall and you're going to bow at the name of Jesus like everyone else. So what we've got to do is we've got to start taking that authority in our lives. You've got to start waking up, and you got to start looking at these giants in your life, and you just got to remind them, and you need to say, "Giant, you've been defeated in Jesus' name, and one day you may not fall today, it may not be tomorrow, but one day you're going to bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." You can roar all you want, but the battle has already been won. Amen? Let me see if I can. I want us to understand too, as we're looking at this story, that this story about David and Goliath, you see, there's a scarlet thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible itself is all about Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, before Jesus was on the scene, you can still see Jesus in everything that you read. And I just want to pull this out of the story today. I want you to see Jesus in our story today. You see, the story of David and Goliath is not about you and your giant. But I bet every time you've heard it told or read it or listened to it, that you thought about putting yourself in the position of David. Yeah, today's the day. Today's the day. I'm going to go out and slay my giant. Can I tell you that you're not David? Jesus is David. You and I are not. You know who you and I are? We're the children of Israel, the running away. We're the ones that are afraid and running away. That's who we are. Because this whole story is about Jesus. See, Jesus, the good shepherd, he showed up when no one else could defeat Goliath. Jesus, the good shepherd, he went into the valley of the shadow of death on your behalf, on my behalf. And he picked up 5 smooth stones and he walked into that valley. And Goliath, Satan, fear, sin, whatever it is, He came at them, and they cried out to Jesus whenever he comes into this valley, and they say, "Are we a dog that you come at us with a stick?" And Jesus says, "No, I'm coming at you with a cross, and that's all that it's going to take to bring victory." And he took the sling, and he began to swing it around and the stone in it. And what does that stone represent? The stone represents the law, the Ten Commandments written on a stone tablet. And those laws were broken. And when we broke God's standard, when we broke that, I want you to catch this. When we broke those standards, we rebelled against him. We rebelled against him. And so the giants in your life, the giant in our life, they can take that law now and they can use it to punish us, to bring the consequences of death, sin, and shame into our lives. And so when Jesus put that stone into the sling and he sent it back at him, he's saying, "I came to fulfill the law. I've came to satisfy every requirement that has been or ever will be made upon my children." That's what the stone was. And what he's saying is that they're free in my name. They're free in my name. And he sent that stone back. And when he sent that stone back, it was like the empty tomb, the stone being rolled away. And all of a sudden, the giant has lost its power over our lives. And that stone hit Goliath right in the face, and he falls at the feet of Jesus, because every giant will fall at the feet of Jesus. And he runs and he takes the sword of the Spirit and he cuts off his head and he lifts it up into the air. And there's that analogy again, I know. And why? Because Jesus wanted you and I to know. He wanted us to see that Satan had fully been defeated. He wasn't just wounded. He wasn't just hurt. He was fully defeated in Jesus' name. You see, whenever the giant's head is off, there's no way that he can speak condemnation to you anymore. There's no way he can accuse you of your past. I'm so thankful for that. Been cut off in the name of Jesus, and he holds it up, and all of a sudden we can start believing, just like the children of Israel when David held it up. They got the faith and the courage to chase down the rest of the giants and slaughter them. And you and I, when we can see that Jesus has finished his work on the cross and he's cut the head off of Satan himself, and he's holding it up for us in this story, we can see that. And I hope that faith is rising up inside of you like it's rising up inside of me, so that we can go out and we can face any giant in our life any day of the week. Amen. Can I tell you, this is why in 1 Samuel, the battle, it says, the battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. Can I tell you this morning, this message is not fight your giants. It's face your giants. Why? Because Jesus has already fought the giant for you. Jesus has already defeated him this morning. You see, you're facing your giant is not you and your giant. It's not you got to be David and you got to go out and make it happen. You see, face your giant is here's your giant and here's Jesus. And we have to look at Jesus. We have to let him take back that authority, and we have to receive that authority to have power over the darkness and defeat the king of giants. You don't have to go do it. It's already been done on your behalf this morning. We have victory over giants with a cross and an empty tomb. You don't have to go fight your giant. But by faith, face your giant. And facing your giant is not about your giant. Facing your giant, it's about Jesus. Going into the valley of the shadow of death and doing for you and me what we could not have done on our own. We need this story this week. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I hope you'll go read it. Go read it and just look for Jesus as you're reading through that story. Jesus is David. And I want you to see what he did for you in that story as you read it. I understand. Fact is, there are giants in your life. Truth is, they've already been defeated in Jesus' name. So your homework for this week: when your giant roars at you this week, you get up and you get dressed and you go to the battle line and you say, today's the day. I want you to do this. I want you to just say out loud, call him by name. Depression, fear, whatever it may be that your giant is, I want you to call him by name, and I want you to tell him you've already been defeated. You've already been defeated. See, that's the third lesson, is we have to know that our giants have already been defeated. And guess what? When you start telling him that, he's probably going to roar twice as loud, because what he's wanting you to do is to try to back off. He doesn't want you to know who you are and the authority that you have in Jesus' name. And so he's going to start trying to roar a little bit louder. And he may get you a day or two, but guess what? Jesus' mercy is new every morning, and that's a promise right there. That victory still stands true. So I'm going to believe it today, day by day by day. I'm going to believe that my giants are already defeated in Jesus' name. I want you to close your eyes with me this morning. What do you think Jesus wants to say to you today? Right here, right now, in this moment. You see, I feel like the Lord is stirring up your faith this morning, because it's really hard to believe that my giant's already been defeated, if you're honest. Because he's constantly roaring, he's constantly chasing me, he's constantly haunting me. But it's amazing how often that we stop when we stop looking at the giant that we and we start looking at Jesus, that our faith begins to rise. I'm praying for your faith this morning. I want to encourage your faith this morning. So here's what I want you to do for a moment. I want you to think about your giant in your mind for just 1 minute. Find your giant. And in your spirit, I want you to just look at him. And by faith, this morning, before you even leave this place, I want you to just say to him, you've already been defeated in Jesus' name. Either you have fallen, you are falling, or you will fall in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never fallen to the name of Jesus. You've never submitted or surrendered yourself. And this morning, you just have to say, Jesus, I believe that you died for me and you came to set me free. And so by faith, I believe that you died and you rose again from the grave to offer me an eternal life, to defeat the giant of sin and death and grave in my life. And today, by faith, I breathe that in. I just receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. That's your victory this morning. It's Jesus' kingdom has come, and more of it's coming as we call it in. And so today we move forward by faith, believing that Jesus is good and that everything is possible and that our giants have already defeated. Holy Spirit, I pray this week that you'll just stir that up in our hearts, that we can move forward in confidence and encourage and allow the truth of God's whisper into our heart this week like we've never allowed him to whisper into our lives, to have more power than any giant's roar, to give us the faith and the knowledge that every giant in our life is already defeated. This week we're going to face our giant. We're not going to fight him because he's already been defeated in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every person in this room. I ask, God, that you would go with us this week. And Father, may no giant be bigger than you. May we listen to your voice and to your word in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. God bless you. God bless you.